we're part of a reflection of this community. This board, I can't be any prouder of this board. When we walk through that door, we have different philosophies, but when we walk through that door, and every time we walk through that door, we have one purpose in mind and one purpose only, and that's to make sure that the citizens of this county have a free, fair, and accurate election. And that's what they had, okay? We conducted two or three audits. Elizabeth's been doing this longer than me. We were there. We conducted hand-to-eye recounts, sample random audits. We didn't know which precincts the state board was gonna tell us to pull out. And guess what? The vote totals were accurate from the machines. Period. Okay? And I'm satisfied that it was accurate. If I wasn't, I'd be the first in line to question it. And I think so would Elizabeth, and so would Hallie. But that's not the case. So I want the people of Haywood County to understand that the 2020 election was fair and it was accurate. Okay? And we represent the community. We're not doing this for any reasons for ourselves. We do it because it's a public service to the people. And there's no evidence of anything in this county that was not correct. And so I just, there've been some rumblings about that, and I'm not gonna be quiet about that because I know how hard we all worked. I'm not gonna let somebody or other people from who knows where suggest that it's otherwise, because it's not, okay? And I didn't even see anything that would be suspicious that we conducted. I mean, in my neck of the woods, you gotta have at least some suspicion, reasonable, articulable, what they call suspicion, that something happened before you can even start looking at anything. There's none. So, I just wanted to clear the air about that, and I apologize to y'all, but it's been bothering me, and I just want to say that. You know, when I was thinking about this, I've been seeing so much negativity on TV, and so that's why I was so impressed with what this county did in 2020. Not everybody out there agreed, but they behaved. And I'm reminded of what my father said one time. He said when he was at Iwo Jima dodging bullets, that they all bled red as one, not divided, as one. And I don't know why we can't come together and do that anymore. This board does. And so I just don't even want that to get started in this county. I don't. And I guess this is my bully pulpit and my opportunity to say what I want to say. And this board has been as transparent and open and honest as it can be. So we try to do everything in the open. Some people don't get the answers they want sometimes, but we give them answers and we follow the law and the rules. And that's what we're going to do. Period. Okay.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Elizabeth, I want to open it up to some of you because I think some of you have the same concerns I have, and so I want you all to say whatever you want to say. Yeah.
I would like to echo everything that you said and indicated. I've been on the board for a while, and I can assure the people of Haywood County that all the numbers were accurate, not only just on the last days, but every day records were kept. And we owe our director, assistant director, and election specialist. Those people work so very hard, and we do so much appreciate their following all the rules that they have committed their lives to fair and open elections, and I can't commend them enough. We as a board have seen their work. We know that they follow exactly what the regulations from the state and federal require, and we don't have any question at all about the integrity of what happened here in Haywood County during the elections, and any election. All the elections have proven to be right on the numbers that we're supposed to have, and I can vouch that Haywood County has fulfilled the responsibilities of open and fair elections, and the board has been very cooperative, and we have been working very hard, and we do appreciate so much their efforts. We do appreciate the efforts of all the volunteers. It was a tremendous responsibility of organization that we commend Robbie and the staff for getting all of the parts and pieces together, because if we hadn't have had the extra room and the Maple Grove care, we would have been in very, very serious condition of not having enough space to operate, to even function. So we do appreciate the efforts that the staff made to make sure we had plenty of area to handle the volunteers, the extra help. And I just want to reiterate, I agree with everything that our chairman has said, that Haywood County has fulfilled responsibilities openly and correctly to have the best election that we could have. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
I don't know. When you've got 36,000 people voting out of 44,000, and this board went to the through the process of selecting machines, bringing them to the county, showing them at different times, where if you had an appointment this time, you'd come the next showing. No complaints. Took it to the county commissioner. They approved quite a bit of money to buy the machines. There was never a argument or a cross word of this board during all that time. We've all been on the same page. We've had different opinions, but we've worked them out. And quite frankly, I don't see how the director and his employees can spend all the time they're having to do at the present time to answer questions when there is all these elections coming up. Something has got to give. And I don't know what the answer is.
Okay. Well, I'll say one last thing. Everybody had an opportunity to see what we were doing at all times. There were Republicans, Democrats, Independents. They all took part. We had observers, everything. So Elizabeth, I appreciate what you said. That great comments. It was, I am satisfied the vote count was accurate and that the machines worked like they're supposed to. So, all right, with that, Robbie, we'll move on to the next item there, which is updated North Carolina State Board of Elections Uniform Guidance. So.
I usually provide you with several. Because we received several between every meeting of numbered memos, as they're referred to, or the attorney's guidance to certain matters that are before the state and counties at every meeting. This time I only have what you have already received, which is their response to the questions at hand and some of the public information requests. I consider those requests fulfilled up until this date, and we'll just move forward with that. So there is no document to present you other than what you've already received right here. Now, item number four, you're going to find inside your folder, you're going to see, and there's one on legal size paper, maybe a little cumbersome. Fold it, you can do what you want to. It has not been provided to the public just yet. We're still going through the process of review. I've reviewed it. I find no inaccuracies whatsoever as of this date and time, but you will find that there's a strike through for the first absentee board meeting that's scheduled for Tuesday, September 28th. That is, the reason for that is the North Carolina General Assembly changed the process a couple of years ago, but in their processes, it really truly only dealt with even numbered years. But as a result, it does affect, has to be on there for municipals in odd number of years. Now, be mindful that there's an overlap in the time from mailing out absentee ballots. There is a huge difference between municipal years and even numbered years, which is going to be midterms coming up for 2022. And last year, you noticed that our time for mailing out absentee ballots was September 4th. Now, there's only a 30-day requirement from the General Assembly that ballots be mailed in municipal elections. So that's the reason for that first strike through. It's possible that we won't even have the second board meeting at that time. We'll just have to wait and see as time goes on. But that document is for municipal elections coming up 2021, gives you the title of what activity is going to happen, the date that it's going to happen, and the statutory reference as to how that date and time is determined. So you can cross-reference, look that up, explain it any way that you need to folks. The other document that you have is this one's going to make it very soon, because we're already receiving many potential candidates for the 2022 midterm elections that are scheduled for our local offices. This is going to be what is the candidate filing and the time and the date for those events. Plus, we've included the filing fee for each of those offices. Now, the last five, you will see that it's still to be determined. The reason for that, but we did indicate here what it was in 2018. Now, remember, the statutory reference is going to go back to 1% of the salary for each of these individuals, and that's how those filing fees are determined. Those go into the county's general fund. The municipal filing fees, whatever we collect for the municipalities is tracked and accounted for, and the county, I submit a check request and cuts the check that goes back to the municipalities for their filing fees. Those are minimal. They're either $5 or $10, and that's all they are. It really depends on how many candidates actually file for those mayor or alderman seats. And it gives you the term of office. Now, the second page to that particular document is the being affiliated with political party 90 days prior to your filing, which means that if you're going to change your political affiliation one way or another, it has to be done 90 days prior. And it gives you a breakdown of if you file on a certain day, what day you must have made your change. That's how you can read that. That's just for your benefit and knowledge, in case you're going to have people begin to call and ask you, as they always do. And you'll just have that, and you have it now. Now, the next thing is request for information. As you've all stated, there is an enormous amount of these requests that we deal with every day. And as a matter of fact, just to fill just another one just as early as this morning. Now, what I'm asking of you is for your understanding that a lot of these requests are not going to be fulfilled immediately. It's impossible to fulfill them immediately. We'll do it as soon as we can, and we're going to do what the law requires us to do, and that's all. Now, we have folks that are coming in, establishing a campaign committee because they're preparing to run for a municipal office in November. Now, those activities are going to wrap up very, very quickly because they have some campaigning to do. They can't wait till the last minute to run for these local municipal offices. And we're already potential candidates for next year's primary that are already establishing their campaign committees or just sitting down and asking questions because they're not familiar with how the process works. They don't know the first thing about campaign finance requirements or what they need to do prior to accepting or spending money. Now, campaign finance has teeth, and it's a very serious offense. If you raise money prior to establishing a committee and you only have 10 days to do so, once you accept a dollar, that money will be forfeited to the state of North Carolina's cheat fund. And, you know, and that's where we spend time trying to help these individuals, even telephone calls. You know, people, they, and a lot of those are just anonymous. They don't want you to know who they are or what they're running for. They just want some very basic information. That needs to be our priority going forward. We're now in May. And they're going to file for municipal offices in beginning July 2nd. And that is going to require everybody's understanding and patience that this is going to take time. Now, item number six.
Let me go back to one thing. The statute on public records says public record or public records shall mean all documents, papers, letters, maps, books, photographs, films, sound recordings, magnetic or other tapes, electronic data processing records, etc. That means documents. That's all you have to comply with.
Yes.
Anything else is a courtesy. Question and answers, no. If you want to, you can. But if it depends, you got a staff of four for a county that's, I don't know what the census is going to say. I'd be surprised if it's not close to 70,000. And so we all know you're shorthanded. So I appreciate you talking to us about this. This is not the first time we've talked about this. There are other issues you're dealing with. It's taking an inordinate amount of your time. So. I think we need to leave the discretion with you about what you can and can't do as long as you're complying with this statute, which is just basically copies of documents. That's all you're required to do. I spent most of my life interpreting statutes, so now I haven't looked at the case law to see what's involved with that, but I can do that if necessary. But I was the Attorney General in Cherokee for a while, dealt with a lot of public records requests from all kinds of people, the federal government and other people, and their statute is similar to this. And so as long as you comply with that, Robbie, I think that's all you have to do. And, you know, if you have time and you want to do more, you can, but maybe you can't. And I understand what that involves. I've dealt with a lot of different government entities when I was over there. I almost had a pickup truck full of documents we had to get together. So it's extremely time consuming. And sometimes it takes a lot of your staff to do it. There's another provision that I'm going to suggest to you. And I'm not saying you do this in every case, but the statute that's 132-6.2 allows you to charge for labor costs. If something is voluminous or is taking an inordinate amount of time to get together. So other agencies do that. And if it becomes onerous or burdensome, overly burdensome, then I think we need to leave it to your discretion to charge those fees as set forth in that statute. Because nobody that's not on, I mean, well, I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of people that are not serving on this board don't realize how hard these folks work and what they do every day and what kind of responsibility they have and how much time it takes to do certain things. And I don't foresee us getting extra help anytime soon. Maybe we can ask for that, and maybe they'll do that. And I say they, the commissioners, they've been good to work with in the past. But I understand totally what you're saying. So we can discuss this, but I'm of the mind to give you the discretion to do that if you need to, because I trust you to exercise your judgment about when that's necessary and when it's not. So
I so move that we accept this as a motion.
We need more discussion.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't have a second yet, so.
Yeah. I don't think, as a board, we need to put it solely on Robbie. I would like to see it. If he is concerned, and any request that's taken away from his or his employees' time be documented and brought back to the board. And if we can decide with his explanation whether to charge or not charge for it.
I don't have a feeling one way or the other how we do that. I just think that other boards do that I know of, when it becomes burdensome. Robbie's going to have to be the one that decides whether it's burdensome or not. I can't. So some of the responsibility's got to be on him. How do you feel about that, Robbie? I mean, you're...
Well, it's certainly discretion of the board. I can do it any way that you choose to. Mr. Sarles is, it's not a motion on the table, but Mr. Sarles' comment would mean that it would take, depending on when we receive the request, it would take until the next meeting before any action was taken whatsoever, which is another layer.
Well,
that would need to be.
One problem I have with that is, you know, I think the party that you're getting ready to charge needs to have notice before you start the work that there may be a charge for.
Sure.
So, because I don't think it's fair to do the work and then send them a bill and say you can have this, but you got to pay for it, and here's how much you owe. Maybe what we should do is take Elizabeth's motion and you want to amend it, or I mean, I think if I'm hearing you correctly, Howard, what you'd like to see is before Robbie decides to even really send out a letter saying this is going to cost something, you want him to come back in front of us and say, I've got this request, it's going to take X number of man hours, it's really burdensome, and here's going to be the cost of the labor or whatever, and I need to notify this person that if we comply with your request. That's not something you do a lot. That's something you only do when it's necessary. So, and
I can see where the parties involved would need an answer, not wait a month. My only problem is I don't want Robbie to take all the responsibility for it.
Well, I don't mind taking the responsibility.
Oh, I don't mind.
It's just that I don't know how to, there's no set time you have to respond to a public record. A lot of people think there is. There's not. You have to do it in a reasonable manner. And what's reasonable to one agency is not reasonable to another agency that has enough staff to do that kind of stuff. So I don't know if we need a motion and a authority from us to do that, or it seems like maybe that procedurally you could just, if you get a request, because we meet every month. So if you get a request and, you know, you deem it necessary to bring it before us, then you could. And I don't know, I have to leave a lot of it up to Robbie about how do you feel about that, Rob? Which is better for you? I mean, maybe you ought to have the discretion to decide that it's something. We certainly have to have the discretion to decide it's going to be onerous and burdensome to your staff. And but in terms of what you want to charge them and that kind of thing, would you rather we put our stamp of approval on that before you send it out to the person and say, here's the board met and your request is such and such and the cost is such and such?
Well, I certainly want it to be uniform. I don't want it to be something that, you know, applies to a few and not everyone.
Yeah, and I don't want this to be prohibitive to folks about getting public documents. That's not why I'm talking, or why we're talking about this. It's just that there are some things that are extremely time consuming, and in those instances, I think you have to have, if the people want that much documentation, then they're going to have to understand that they may have to pay a fee for it.
And
it's provided for in the statute, so we're not doing anything that the statute doesn't allow.
You know, and just for the purposes of this meeting right now, immediately, it's something that at your discretion, you can allow me to do a little research and homework and find out exactly what state board of elections policies are regarding this. I don't know how many counties have a policy in place just yet, but it's something I can find out in relatively short order.
Elizabeth, would you be agreeable to just either withdrawing your motion or tabling it until Robbie can come back with some kind of procedure? I want it to be, you know, like you say, uniform, so that people will know if you ask for something that's going to take 2 days for us to get together, we're going to have some, there's some going to be some cost involved. What that is, I don't know yet, and that maybe that's something we need to discuss too.
And I don't think Ms. Elizabeth needs to withdraw. I think that it just needs to be tabled for a little while.
We'll table it.
Okay. So we have a motion. You want to table it then? I'll move that we table it. And then is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor? Okay, so we'll table it. And Robbie, in the meantime, can you think you can get something back to us by our next meeting?
Or oh, yeah.
Is it going to take it? Okay. And what we do, we want to do for everyone in the same circumstances. So I don't want anybody treated differently. So I think that's a good idea. Thanks, Ted. Okay.
The item number six is just the events that are coming up. We